We're on Daf Lamed Beis, Amud Aleph. We're looking at the first of the wide lines. Omer of Sheshes. This is a statement of Rav Acha, Breder Rav Huna, in the name of Rav Sheshes. Hainu Diyamri Inshi. He's quoting some sort of idiom, a phrase that's used very commonly. Male Krese Zane Bishe. You fill up a person's belly with lots of food, and as a result, you bring him to sin. Because when a person is so satiated, he's full of himself, he's not in a serious mood, and he sins. Shenemar, Poskin Hoshea, Kimar Isam, Vayizbo, Savu, Vayoram, Libam, Alkein, Shechechuni. Meaning, because they were so satiated with mireh from the food of Eretz Yisrael, therefore they were shchachuni, they forgot Hashem. Vayoram libam rom levavo means he becomes so full of himself. It's like gaiva, geus, and he forgets HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he sins. If you take a look at Rav Nachman, he has another source for the same concept, that if a person is too full, he's too satiated, he sins. Moshe, when he gives tochacha to Bnei Yisrael before they enter into the land, he says to them, Pentochal v'savata, ubatim tovim tivne, v'yashavta, uvekorcha v'tzoncha yubiyun, v'kesef v'sav yarbelach, v'kol sher l'cha yarbe, v'rom levavcha v'shachachta s'ashem olkecha, hamotziach ha-meretz Mitzrayim, mi'beis avodim. So you see that the sviya here, that's emphasized here in the pasuk, pen tochal v'savata, that's going to bring lidei gaiva. And that's what's mentioned here, kesev and zav yarbalach, the ribui kesev and zav, that's what causes gaiva, and that's what causes a person to forget about God. Rabbanan amri mihocha, the Rabbanan have a different source from which they derive the same conclusion. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, Ki avi enu el ha'adoma shenishbato lavosecha. This at the end of Sefer Dvarim. Eretz zovas chol of dvash. Achelta v'sova v'doshen ufona el kima Elohim achirim v'avadum, etc. etc. v'fer es brisi. Because of the sviya, that's what it says, v'ochal v'sova, people of Israel come to look at other gods and stray from the path of Hashem. Ibai Sein Mehacha, another possibility, also at the end of Sefer Dvarim, Vayishman, Miloshin Shamein, they became fat, so to speak, Yeshurin, this is a reference to Klal Yisrael, Vayivot, and then they, so to speak, rebel, they kick Hashem. Shamanta, Visa, Kasisa, Vayitosh, Eloha, Aso, Vainabel, Tsur, Yeshuaso. You see that from Achila and Hashmona, from getting so satiated and fat, Klal Yisrael come to kick Kaviyochel Hashem, to leave their God and depart from his ways. All this is because of the extra sviya. Rav Sheshes had brought a pasuk, if you recall, from Kimar Isom Vaizbo, a pasuk in Hosea, and then it says Alkein Shachachuni. In that pasuk, it's explicit that sviya, that satiation, brings to sin. In the other pasuk, it never says Al-Kain. It's only in this pasuk from Hosea that it says Al-Kain Shechachuni. And this pasuk, on the other hand, has a sort of drawback. It's that it's in Nevi'im. The other Amoraim could try to bring pasukim from the Torah, which is always a first choice. And even and every one of the Amoraim adds something to the one who came before him. The pasuk v'ram levavcha v'shachachta Hashem teaches us that someone who's ram levavo, he's big on himself, he's full of himself, he'll come to shichas Hashem, to forget God. The pasuk v'achal v'saveya v'dashayin upon Elohim achirim, that teaches us an additional point, that such a person will ultimately worship Avodah Zarah. And the last pasuk that we had, v'yishman yishruv v'yivad, that adds another point, that it's not only enough that he'll violate Avodah Zarah, He doesn't even meshatev Shem Hashem Ima. There's a different kind of Avodah Zarah, which is called Shituf, when you accept God together with other gods. But this person, who's at this stage of Yishman Yishuv Vayiv'ot, he is completely Vayitosh Aloha. He leaves God out completely. He worships other gods, and exclusively other gods. Now, if you take a look at the Marsha, you'll see that he clarifies that these psukim correspond to the three mishalim that the Gemara had brought earlier. The first two psukim of Savu v'yarim liban and pentochal v'savatvaram levavcha, they parallel the mashal of the Ari, the lion that you give him too much basar and he becomes a mazik. And the pasuk v'yachal v'saveh v'dashenu panel kim, that corresponds to the mashal of the ben whose father pampers him and puts him on the Pesach of Zonos. And the third pasuk, Vayishman Yeshurin Vayivat, that parallels the mashal of the para, the very lean para that you feed a karshina, the best animal food, and it starts kicking back and forth. The Gemara proves that HaKadosh Baruch Hu at the end accepted Moshe's taina, that because he, God, had showered so much wealth on the people of Israel, that's what caused them to sin at the Egel. Amrav Shmuel bar Nachmena Rab Yonasan, Minayin shechazer Kosh Baruch Hu v'hodu lo l'Moshe. In other words, it doesn't mean that that Kosh Baruch Hu spoke to himself, to, you know, had a discussion with Moshe, and then he says, all right, I know you're right. But rather it means that at some point in the Nevi'im, at some future Navi, Hashem will actually reiterate that principle that was underlying Moshe's prayer. And that's going to be in the Navi Hosea. So how do we know that Moshe was right in his argument, in his defense argument for Klal Yisrael, that what brought them to the Chet HaEgel was the Ribui Kesef Ezov that came from Lamala? Shenemar, because in Yeshaya, in Hosea Novi says, Vekesef Herbesi La, La is a reference to Knesset Yisrael, Vizahav Asu Labal. And as a result, they worshipped Avodah Zarah with that gold that I showered upon them. So we see that Kosh Baruch Hu ultimately reiterates the same argument as Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the Ribui Zav that's going them to be Chote in the Chet of Avodah Zarah, the very severe Chet of the Egel. Now, once we mention the Maisa Egel, the Gemara goes a little bit beyond to dash in different psukim about the Chet of Egel. After the Chet of Egel, at the end of 40 days that Moshe was on Har Sinai, the Pasuk tells us, the Parshas Ki Tisa, Vaydaber Hashem al Moshe lech reid, ki shiches amcha asher helesa me'eretz Mitzrayim. And the Gemara says, my lech reid. What is the meaning of lech reid? The Pshuta Shemikah, we understand that Moshe was up on Har Sinai, Hashem told him to go down, but the Gemara was bothered because this command to go down for the mountain seems to be superfluous, because all it says is that he should go down. It doesn't say any substance about what should he do when he gets down. And therefore, the Gemara wants to give a different meaning, a different twist on the meaning of Lech Reid. And it's also possible that the Arida itself, going down the mountain, has its own purpose. It's not a means to an end, but it's an end into itself. And what would that mean, that the Arida down is an end unto itself? Amar Rabbi Lazar, Amala Koshbach Lemoshe, Moshe, Reid Migdulascha, go down from your greatness. Klum lo nasati l'cha gedula el b'shvil Yisrael. Your greatness is just a reflection of the fact that you are the leader of Klal Yisrael. V'achshav sheYisrael chatu, now that the people have sinned, and I don't want them, is atolomali, why do I want you? Well, what justifies your great stature if you're only there as a leader of the people and now I reject the people? And as a result, is Toshash Kocho Shel Moshe, V'lo Hayelo Koch L'daber. Moshe became very weak. He became, so to speak, depressed. And he had no energy to speak up and to pray. That's where the Bach adds here the word v'lispalel al Yisrael. So when Hashem said, for example, we'll see before Kabbalah Satorah, again it's going to say, v'yomrei lov Hashem lech reid v'olisa ato v'aron imach. And the Marsha says that there too we should have the same drasha, but the Tzlach says that our drasha is from the double language. Hashem could have said reid, but instead he says lech reid, and the lech reid is what we're darshaning here as opposed to the pasuk later on. In any event, v'kevan sha'amar heref mi. Now, what gave Moshe Rabbeinu a little extra energy, you know, to recollect himself and go back into the ring, so to speak, and battle on behalf of Klal Yisrael? Hashem says to Moshe, heref mi meni v'ashmidem. Let me go, so to speak. Drop it. You're pushing me. You're pulling me. Let me do what I have to do, and I want to destroy the people of Israel. What is the deeper meaning of this pasuk? Omar, Moshe said in his heart, I can be medayik, I can understand the hint that's being intimated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu when he says, please don't pray on behalf of the people. Dover zeh toli bi, apparently everything depends upon me. If I will be able to pray on their behalf, then God will refrain from destroying the people. Miyad omad v'nischazik b'tefillah. Moshe became strengthened for the effort of tefillah. Tefillah, and Moshe Rabbeinu, we're going to see this over and over again, requires a tremendous amount of work. U'bikesh rachamim, and his supplications to protect Klal Yisrael from hashmada, from being destroyed. Moshal lemelech shekas al b'no. Imagine if you're a witness, you're in the king's, you know, one of the king's friends, companions, and you see that he gets angry on his son, and he's really smacking up his son. And he's seeing what's going on. His good, you know, the melech's good buddy. He doesn't know what to do. He's overwhelmed by fear. Now, he really wants to tell the king, stop hitting your son so badly. But he thinks that the king, in such a state of anger, is not going to listen to him. And no words of pacification are going to have any meaning, any impact. Omer HaMelech, so the king says to his son, you know what? Ilmole ovi ze yoshiv lefanai, if not for the fact that my beloved friend here is sitting and watching Harak Ticha, I'd mamish kill you. I don't know if you take that literally. Omar Oavo Shel Melech Belibo, the beloved of the king says in his heart that from the fact that the king said this thing, Dorazet Tolibi Miad Omad Vitzilo, that gave the Oev the impetus, the power, the guts, the gumption to get up and say, please have compassion on your son. Now we have an element in the story, the episode of the Egel, after the Chet of the Egel, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe, V'ato hanicholi v'yichar api bohem v'chalem. Let me go, so to speak, and I will let my anger bring me to the state of vengeance and destruction. I will destroy the people, asel schol goy gadol. And I'll make you the father of a new great nation. If not for the fact that the pasuk itself indicates, when it says hanichali, that melame shetfaso Moshe laKadosh Baruch Hu, Moshe was grabbing HaKadosh Baruch Hu by the coattails, so to speak, ka'adam shutofes chaver bebigdo, like a person who grabs onto his friend's clothing, v'yomer lefonav, and Moshe says to Ribono Shel Olam, ein ani manichecha, I'm not going to let you go, ad shetimchol v'tisach lehem, until you forgive the people of Israel. And this is all from the fact that Hashem says, anichali, let me go. Moshe, you're holding on to me? Let me go. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu is requesting from Moshe that he drop it, meaning stop the pressure of your tefillos. And then v'eschol, schol l'goy gadol, In other words, Tfilas Moshe was to God. He said, Zachor li Avram. So we're trying to understand the dialogue back and forth between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I'm going to make you into a great nation. And Moshe responds, and he says, Zachor li Avram li Yitzchok li Yisrael avodecha. So Gemara wants to know, what was this response of Moshe HaKadosh Baruch Hu's claim or offer, if you will, that Schol Schol Goy Gadol? And Omer Abelazar, Kach Omer Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, don't you remember, Zachar, your beloved Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov, the Avos? And you're not going to save the descendants of the Avos? Certainly if the people of Israel don't have a schus, they don't have a merit because they worship the idol, but certainly in the merit of the fathers of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Avos. And isn't there a kal v'chomer? Uma kisei shel shalosh reglaim eni yochel lam lefanech b'shas kaskol, kisei shel regel echad al achas kama v'kama. If you have a chair that only has three legs, and that's the schus of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, it cannot exist at the time of your kas when you're angry. In other words, the schus of the avos of the three legs is not going to be sufficient. Is then how much more so kisei shel echad, if you're going to establish a nation from me, from one leg, so to speak. You're going to destroy all of Klal Yisrael, and you're going to start a new nation from Moshe and Moshe alone. This nation that you're going to create now from me will not have a regel. It won't have a leg to stand on. It'll have maybe one leg, but how could it possibly continue to exist? Imagine a chair that has only one leg. How much more so that with that limited amount of merit of one leg, it's not going to help them to save the people, the nation, at the time of Hashem's kas. Now, it's a little bit odd, because Moshe Rabbeinu himself is one of the descendants of Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. So that if there's a guy, if there's a new nation that comes from Moshe Rabbeinu, then they'll still have the schus of the Shalosh Avos. But apparently we're talking about a brand new nation. And Moshe becomes the first father and the only father of that nation. And that's not enough to save Klal Yisrael at the time of the Kaas. V'lo od, and furthermore, El sheyesh bi boshes ponim yavosai. Imagine how I feel, says Moshe, in the presence of the Avos. Achshav, if you're going to destroy the people of Israel and create a new nation for me, Yomru, the Avos will say to me, Ru'u parnos, look at this leader, Shehemet Aleim, which God appointed them for Yitzias Mitzrayim. Bikesh Gedu Liatzmo, Velo Bikesh Aleim Rachamim. What all he cares about is his own greatness, that he should be the father of a new nation. He's not supplicating God for Rachamim to save our descendants. No. He wants to start a new people. So when God says to Neschal, Schal Goy Gadol, he's not going to be Mavakish Rachamim? Is that God what you want? I'll be embarrassed by in the front of the Avos when they'll say to them that all I care about is my own Gedula. Now there's a whole sugya here that's going to darshan within the context of Moshe Rabbeinu's prayers in the aftermath of the Cheder Egel, the word Vayechal Moshe. What does Vayechal mean? So let's read the whole pasuk. It says, "Vayechal Moshe pnei Hashem Elokav, vayomer lama Hashem yechre apcha b'yamecha sheyotzeischa me'eretz Mitzrayim mekol gadol v'yod chazaka." So what is Vayechal Moshe? Amar Rabbi Lazar. Again, it should have said Vayispalel Moshe. Amar Rabbi Lazar melamed she'amad Moshe b'sfilu l'fnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu ad shehechlohu. Wow, that's a very heavy statement. It's what you call an anthropomorphism. Until he got Kaviyach HaKadosh Baruch Hu ill, meaning he was begging on behalf of Klal Yisrael, and he embellished it, and he extended it over and over again, pushing. And that's what Hashem gets sick from Moshe's prayers, because Hashem doesn't know how to handle it, so to speak. So that we know that Vayichal is Miloshen Choli, and Vayichal means that Ad Shechlo LaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Bach, you should know, has a different girsa in this Gemara. He has Malamich Yispal Moshe Ad Shehechlo. Okay, so nothing has changed yet, but then it says Abaye Omar. We don't have this in our gear, so Ad Shehechlo Leha Kadosh Baruch Hu. So it seems that the language of Ad Shehechleu just 1 second. Ad Shehechlo La Kadosh Baruch Hu. But then there's another text, a third gear, so Malam Shehispal Moshe Ad Sheh. Hechla, and Abai explains, Ad Shehechlo Leha Kadosh Baruch Hu. I don't know what the lamed is, but Ad Shehechlo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, meaning Vayechal, is to be interpreted on Moshe himself. Whereas Abai is saying, no, it's going on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that Moshe got HaKadosh Baruch Hu sick, so to speak. Very, very revolutionary concept here. Rava Omar, this is also revolutionary, but a little more, shall I say, palatable. Moshe stood in tefillah in front of Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ad Shehefer Lo Nidro. In other words, there's a halacha of Hafaras Nidorim. Really, it should be Hataras Nidorim. If you take a look in the Hagos Gilion on the sign, it says Shehita Lo Nidro. Because the word afar really only applies to a father vis-a-vis his daughter who's a naira, or maybe her husband. Whereas a chacham is matir nidro. So it shouldn't say heferlo, because Moshe is functioning here as a chacham to be matir neder. Just like we go for ataras nedarim to a tribunal, Moshe is a yachid mumcha, he stands on his own, and he could be matir the neder of HaKadosh Baruch. Now which neder? So the answer is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had said Vachalem, and here it says Vayechal. Ksiv Hocha, Vayechal, Ksiv Hosam. In the Parashah Nedarim, in Matis, it says Ishki Dor Nedel Hashem, O Isha Vashua, Les Or Yisrael, Lo Yachel Dvaro, Kechal Shah Yotze Mipiv, Kol Yotze Mipiv Yaseh. So what does it mean, lo yachel es diburo? He shouldn't take his words that he took a neder and make him into chulin if he doesn't fulfill his vow, his pledge. The Omar Mar and Shmuel in Masechet Chagiga Daf Yud says about this, hu eino mechil, aval acherim mechilin lo. This is the source, the pasuk of lo yachel dvaro, for the concept of hataras nedarim, that although he himself is committed to the neder that he took, he's not allowed to violate it, but nevertheless others could remove the neder. And then he's perfectly mutter. So this is the smach in the Torah, Fataris Nedarim. And this is what, according to Rava, Moshe Rabbeinu intended to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I will be matter your neder. Notice the fact that you gave your word that you would destroy them, destroy the people, is that has a din of a neder. Now, others say, based on a medrash, that the neder that we're talking about is kash kvar nishbata soveach lelohim yechram. Now, as a person who brings a carbon to Avodah Zarah, chayv misa, and that's called a divrei shvuah. So a shvua means a divine commitment, so to speak, an oath. And the only way of changing that is through Hataras Chacham. The Rashba doesn't want to take this Gemara literally, that Moshe Rabbeinu was really matir the neder, but rather, Kishem Shaodam Matir's Nidro, Shenodav Shas Kaso, Liachashem Espais, Kachakosh Brochu Nispais, Al Yidei Tefilas Moshe Venestali Kaso Al Yisrael. Wow. The Rashba really takes this in a very symbolic light, that what does it mean Moshe Rabbeinu was matir or mefir the neder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? It means that Hataras Nedarim is based on the fact that the neder was taken at a moment of passion, of anger. But as soon as the person calms down, then he realizes he didn't want that neder. So he goes to a chacham for Hataras Nedarim. HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nispayes through the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. And once there was a siluk, there was a removal of that kas against Klal Yisrael, it means that it's as if Moshe Rabbeinu was matir, the neder of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Shmuel Amar Melamed Shemosar Atzmo Lemisalim. He reinterprets the word Vayichal to the root of the word Vayichal is Chilel or Chalal. Chalal is a dead body, a corpse. Moshe Rabbeinu was asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to take his life. And it says afterwards, Moshe Rabbeinu requests regarding Klalis Vata in Tisa Chatosam Vim Ayin Mechenino Misifrcha Asher Kasavta. In other words, destroy me, shall we say, spiritually, by removing me and my and the name, mention of my name from the Sefer Torah. Moshe is asking that his name be blotted out by Hashem. And perhaps when we say blotted out, it's not only from the Sefer Torah. There's something called Sifrei Chaim, as opposed to Sifrei Mason. These are the ledgers up in the heavenly court. And Moshe Rabbeinu says, erase me from Sifrei Chaim. I can no longer live. And instead, and I will die, and you will not punish Klal Yisrael. So he'll spare the people of Israel, save them by giving up his own life. So once again, two interpretations of what does it mean, Mechenino Misifrcha, does it mean from the Torah, or does it mean from the Sifrei Chaim? Omar Rav Yitzchak Melamed, Shehechla Aleihem. Hechlo is miloshen lahachil or chalos, right? You have a chalos and you want to put the chalos onto something. So he was able to generate midas harachamim for the benefit of Klal Yisrael, that it would be chal. V'rabbanan Amri Melamed Shomer Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Ribono Shalom Chulin Hu Lecha Me'asos Kadover Zeh. He's interpreting Vayichal as an allusion to chulin, to something that's desecrated. And he's basically telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, please, if you will destroy the people of Israel, that will make your name into Chulin. And Vayichal now is the Lashon of Chulin. And this, my friend, is the concept of what we call Chil Hashem, which is the greatest Gnai that we can think of. And imagine if HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the people of Israel out of Mitzrayim only to destroy them in the Midbar. That would be an endless, infinite Kiddush Chil Hashem. And the Marsha explains over here that since there were tzaddikim amongst the Dor, they weren't all guilty of Avodah Zarah, of worshipping the Egel. Therefore, it would be Chulin. It would be a Chil Hashem if he wouldn't differentiate between the Tzaddikim and the Rishoyim. Like, for example, the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, on Daf Dalid, based on a Pasuk, Chalil Lecha Me'asos Kedor Azel Lohamis Tzadik in Rasha, he interprets it, Omar Avram Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Ribono Shel Olam Chulin Hu Me'asos Kedor Azel Lohamis Tzadik in Rasha. So that, of course, is Avraham Avinu's plea on behalf of Sodom. Now, in all these statements that we're about to learn, it's always going to be, the speaker is always Rabbi Eliezer. And what we're going to see here, Vayichal Moshe es Pnei Hashem, and it says, Tanya, Rabbi Eliezer HaGadol Omer. So it's important that we figure out who this Rabbi Eliezer is, because he's going to appear over and over again. And the Radal writes that this is Rabbi Elazar ben Hurkanus. That's the Talmud of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai and the Rebbe of Rabbi Akiva. And he's called Gadol to teach us that he was the Gadol of the Talmidim, the greatest of the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. And he was so great that he taught Torah through his Talmidim to all of Klal Yisrael. So the Iker of Torah Shebaal Peh was actually saved or generated by Rabbi Eliezer ben Hurkanus. Anyway, we're going to have a whole string of statements of his, so let's know who he is. Malami cha'amad Moshe b'tfila lifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Moshe is standing in prayer to save the people of Israel after the Chet HaEgel. Ad shachazato achilo, or achilu. This is some sort of a disease, and Moshe came down with this disease. The Mefarshim says that this disease is a disease of very, very high fever, of kadachas, chom gavor ma'od. And we're talking about Moshe Rabbeinu burning up, so to speak. He's got very, very high fever. He's pushed sick. He can't describe as anything but very, very ill. So this interpretation of Ayichal of Rabbi Eliezer Gadol means that achazaso achilo, that's some sort of a disease that could kill you because it generates a burning fever, high fever. My achilu, Amar Rabbi Lazar, eish shel atzamos. It's like a fire that goes into your very bones. My eish shel atzamos, Amar Abaye, ishasa de garme. This is a very, very high fever that affects the bones. And as a result of this fever, it affects the what we call the moach in the atzomos, the part of the bones that has a moach to it. It's like the nerve system of the atzomos, and this is called chom v'kadachas. You'll see this also in another word, badlekes. That's an Aramaic word for it. And it's called Kadachas HaTzomos Shemelchamemes Es Moach HaTzomos. That's Eishel HaTzomos. So that Rabbi Elazar translates this word into Lashon Kodesh. In Lashon Kodesh, it's Eish. And it doesn't sound like Kadachas. And Lo haya mocher bitui ze, lekach ha-gemore, lo evino mamash ma'usa. In other words, the word eish here in this context is a little bit problematic. So the answer is eish shalatsomos, that has this fever penetrates into the marrow of the bone, and obviously we're talking about something extremely, extremely dangerous. Now the Gemara goes back to the Psukim of the Tefillah of Moshe, following the Chet HaEgel. Nemar, it says, Moshe prays, Zechor li Avraham li Yitzchak li Yisrael avadecha, asher nishbato lahem, bach. So let's emphasize the word bach, because that's an extra word in the Pasuk. The Gemara asks, my bach? What does Moshe Rabbeinu add Bach here? What does he mean? Amar Rab Lazar, again Rab Lazar Hurkanis. Amar Moshe Lefei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Shel Olam, Il Mole Nishbato Lem Bashamayim Uvaaretz. If you had only taken your Shvua on the heavens and the earth, Hayisi Omar, I would say, Kishem Shashamayim Uvaaretz Betelum Kach Shuascha Betela. The heavens and the earth are physical, material, and finite. They will eventually fade away or disintegrate. And therefore, your shvuah, which is long lasting, as long as this shemayim v'aretz, is betela. Now there's no shemayim v'aretz, so the whole shvuah is disqualified. But v'yachshav shenishbat olem b'shimcha gadol. In other words, had you taken the shvuah b'shem shamayim v'aretz, then I would know that at some point, who knows when, the shvuah would be batel. But now you took a shvuah, and this shvuah is a divine promise to protect the Jewish people, etc., etc., as we'll see soon. Nishbat olem b'shimcha gadol. We found already that in the time of Avram, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was nishbat b'shem Hashem. At the time of Akedas Yitzchak, it says b'nishbati. But b'nishbati means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the shvuah with his shem HaGadol. His mashim HaGadol chai v'kayom li'olam. Uli'ol me'olamim. So the great name of God is eternal. Is kach shvuascha kayemes li'olam uli'ol me'olamim. You have to be makayim your shvuah, because you took the shvuah to the avos. Laharbo zarim laseis lazarim esaretz v'al techalas Yisrael. You can't destroy the people of Israel, because that would be a violation of your shvuah. And the Gemara now darshens the next part of the pasuk, v'taber aleihem arbe es zarachem ki kochve ha-shamayim v'chol aretz hazos asher amarti etein lezarachem v'nachlu li'olam. The Gemara asks, hi, when the pasuk says asher amarti, it's not very clear. L'chor it should have said asher amarta mi bo'elei. In other words, if Moshe Rabbeinu is talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, he should have said, Asher Amarta. You know, these are the words that you said, and it was Arbe Zarachem Kol Shrei Shamayim. So why doesn't Moshe Rabbeinu say, Asher, why does it say Asher Amarti? What is Asher Amarti? You know, the implications is a little bit odd that Moshe Rabbeinu is quoting himself, so to speak, Asher Amarti. Om Rav Lozar Adkan, up until the words Kikochvei Hashamayim is Divrei Talmud. These are the words of Moshe Rabbeinu. However, Mikan V'elech, from the words V'chol Ha'aretz Hazos Asher Amarti, etc., Divrei HaRav, these are all the words of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu goes back and he responds to Moshe Rabbeinu within the same sentence. And he tells Moshe Rabbeinu, I was Mekabel, I accepted your tefillah. And kol ha'aretz hazos asher amarti, kvar li'ovesh ha'etein osa, etein osam le'el osa lezar'am. Hashem says, you've convinced me, so to speak. You implored me, and now I capitulate, I accept that this shvuah that I took, that all the land of Israel would be granted to the Zerah. This is what I already promised to the Avos. Is therefore my hands are tied. I can't destroy the people. They deserve to be destroyed. So it means as soon as Moshe Rabbeinu mentions Hashem, to Hashem, his haftocha on Ribui Zerah, on his Nachim Hashem Mirah, it's as if Hashem turns towards the Avos and tells them, "Kol ha'aretz hazos asher amarti achein etein lezarachem v'lo achale osam." All these great lands that I promised you will actually go to the banim etein lezarachem. I'm good for my promise. Rav Shmuel bar Nachmeni Omar, elu v'elu divrei Talmud. The whole pasuk is Moshe Rabbeinu talking to Hashem, and you don't have to divide it in half. Ella, if you ask the question, why does it say Asher Amarti, and it should have said Amarta, if everything is Divrei Talmud, is Kachom or Moshe Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Let's interpret it this way. This is what Moshe says to Almighty God: Ribono Shel Olam Advarim Shamarta Li Lech Emor Lehem Li Yisrael Bishmi. Now, it's just like Hashem said to Moshe at the time that he revealed himself to Moshe at the Sneh. He said to him, Lech v'yasafta ez zikne Yisrael v'amarta la'aleihem Hashem elokei avosechem nira elai elokei Avraham, Yitzchak v'yakov le'mor pakod pakadati, etc., etc. Is halachti v'amarti lahem b'shimcha. So all that that Hashem is saying in the pasuk, it says Asher Amarti. What does it mean Amarti? Amarti to whom in the past? And the answer is I said it to the Avos, and I told the Avos that that I would definitely spare their descendants and bring them into the land. And therefore, what you should do, Moshe Rabbeinu, is tell the people in my name, Amarti Lahem Bishimcha, and Achshav Mani Omer Lahem. I told the people of Israel when I first met them after the snare, and I announced and I identified myself as the Goel Shal Yisrael, I explained to them that we are going to inherit the land, that we have a shvua, an absolutely binding, irretractable oath from HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we will enter into the land. So he says, Halachti v'amartu lehem b'shimcha. In other words, I said in your name, and now Hashem's saying, you know, if I transmitted what you had said to the Avos, and I told it in your name, then now you want to destroy them, they won't get the land? What am I going to say? You know, Yisrael, Klal Yisrael will remember the Avtocha that I just said to them a few days ago, so to speak, when I first appeared to them. So that's Asher Amarti. Moshe is telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Amarti, I already gave him this message, that they can rely on the oath as an absolute irretractable commitment. And now what's going to happen? You're going to violate that commitment. Now, once the Gemara darshins the tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu after the Chet HaEgel, it also darshins the psukim and parshas of Meraglim. These were the two greatest sins of the people of Israel in the desert. And there also, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy the people of Israel, and Moshe prayed on their behalf. And when HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to destroy Klal Yisrael and make Moshe into a Goy Gadol, so Moshe said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that if you're going to destroy the people of Israel, Yomer HaGoyim, this will be a terrible Chil Hashem. The Goyim will say, Mibli Yecholes Hashem, Lahavi Yasa'am Azed, says, in other words, what's going on? The people are saying, God, this great God of yours, where are his infinite powers? They're not manifested. Are there not enough kvarim mitzrayim in it? He didn't have a yecholet. The Gemara's going to make a big deal about that word yecholet. Me built a yecholet, Hashem. God didn't have the power. You believe in this divine being. He doesn't even have the power to bring his people into the land that he promised their forefathers. So the Gemara asks, what does it mean when it says Yecholet Hashem? Yechol Hashem. What does it mean? It shouldn't have said Mibli Yecholet Hashem. It should have said Yechol Hashem. Mibilti Yechol Hashem. What's the Mibayl? That's what it should have said. Now, if it would have said Mibilti Yechol Hashem, then it would be in the masculine form, Lashon Zachar. Instead of Lashon Zachar here, it says Yecholes Hashem in Lashon Nekeva. What's the significance here of instead of using the male form, the female form of Yecholet is being used? Amar Kadosh Baruch Hu, Amar Moshe Nekadosh Baruch Baruch Kol Olam, Achshav, Yomru Umos HaOlam. What are the peoples, the nations on that occupy the globe? They're going to say, Toshash Kocho Kinekeva. The Nekeva here is a woman after birth. So she's weak, and now using her as a mashal, that Klal Yisrael, after the Egel, if Hashem would destroy them, the peoples of the world would say, you know what? He's weak. Your God is a weak God. Ve'enu yochel lahatzil, and he doesn't have the ability, the power, to save the people of Israel, to bring them into the land. And that's why he destroyed them in the Midbar. This is what it seems from the word Yecholet. Just that one word Yecholet gives this entire structure, this entire story. That the nations of the world will say that, God, you became weak. When I was growing up, the Apikorsim, you say, God is dead, Chas V'Shalom. Eina Yachal Atzilo, he's weak. He cannot save them. And therefore, he destroyed them in the Midbar. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe. So the response of the Almighty to Moshe's argument is the following. Halog faro nisim ugvura shasisi lemli Yisrael al yam, the Umas Olam witnessed all the great miracles, the supernatural events that took place in order to save the people of Israel at Yamsuf. So why do you think, what would justify a conclusion that the people will say, you know, that God is weak? What do you mean the people say God is weak? Didn't they witness, it was an international event, they saw the Gvuras Hashem, the Eser Makis, they saw the Yamsuf, they saw the, you know, they saw all the greats. What are they going to now they're going to say, well, God is weak? They perceive the greatness, the mighty God. On Mulafanas, the Moshe responds, Ribbono Shel Olam, Adayin Yesh Lahem, it's possible, Lomar, to say, Lemelech Echad, Yochel Hashem La'amod, but L'shlosh V'yechad Melochim Eino Yochel La'amod. Even if he's able to rise up against one king, but nevertheless against the 31 kings that occupy the land of Palestine, of Israel, Eino Yochel La'amod. He cannot possibly stand up against them. And the reason why he cannot successfully bring them into the land is because he's going to kill them in the Midbar. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, minayin shechazar HaKadosh Baruch Hu vehodolo leMoshe. How do we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu turned around and he accepted Moshe's argument? And Moshe, you're right, shenemar, vayom Hashem salachti kidvarecha. What does it mean, kidvarecha? Tani debay, Rabbi Shmuel, the Brisa says, from Rabbi Shmuel, kidvarecha, that you said that the Umas HaOlam are going to make this claim that God is weak, and he killed the people, destroyed them in the desert because he didn't have the power to save them and bring them into the land. Asidim Umas HaOlam Lomar Kain. The people on the face of the earth will actually make that argument if I, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, will destroy the nation of Israel here in the desert. And therefore, Ashrei Talmud Sherabo Modelo. How fortunate is the Talmud who agrees, so to speak, who consents to the argument of, whose Rebbe, whose master, agrees to his argument. Now the Gemara says the following. Let me just say one thing. Sorry. Ulam chai ani. This is the next pasuk after Solachti Kidvarecha, and Moshe adds the following. No, I'm sorry, Hashem adds the following. For ulam chai ani, v'imolei kvod Hashem es kol ha'aretz. What's the meaning of this? Omar Rav Rav Yitzchak, we're not sure if they both said it, or one in the name of the other. Melani, this teaches, Sha'omar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, leMoshe, Moshe hech yisani bidvarecha. You spot us kaviyoch, again, anthropomorphism, but you gave me life. Why? Because if the Goyim would say, Mibli yecholes Hashem, then it's almost as if, as I said before, God is dead. He has no power. But Salachti kidvarecha, you, And as a result of Salachik Yivarech, and now the people of Israel will survive, I will not destroy them. Then instead of the nations of the world saying God is Chas V'Shalom dead, the nations of the world will see that God is very much alive. Now, at this point in the Gemara is going to dash in the Psukim with regard to the Tefillah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Darash Rav Simlai, a very important halacha, liolim yisader Adam. Now we're fast-forwarding to the end of Chumash. Shvachu shal HaKadosh Baruch V'yakach yispalel v'yavakesh es tzrochov. First, you have to start with Shvach. My Rebbe used to say that Divrei Shevach is a matir for Bakosha. Bakosha tzrochim can only come after you have a Shevach. And we see this from Moshe Minolan, Mimoshe Dechsiv. Moshe Rabbeinu, when he tells the people of Israel how he was Mavakish from Hashem to enter into the land of Aschanon El Hashem Baisahi, Uksiv in the Pasuk afterwards says, Hashem Elokim, Atah Hilosa Larosis Avdechaz God Lecha, Esyotcha Chazakah. There are beautiful descriptions of Almighty God. This is a praise for God. Asher Mikael Bashamayim Ufa'aretz. There is no God except for the God of heavens and earth, Asher Yasek Himasecha V'Chigvusecha, and immediately afterwards, Ksiv Basrei, Ebra Nove Ere Es Haaretz HaTova. So first, Moshe Rabbeinu heaps on the praise of Hashem, and only then he asks for his personal bakasha of Ebra Nove Ere, may I pass through the Yarden into the land of Israel, so I can see the land of Israel. Hahar HaTov HaZev HaAlvanon. There's a reference to both Yerushalayim and the Beis HaMikdash. And when Moshe Rabbeinu is mischanin el Hashem for himself, that he should be able to enter into the land, he organizes his personal prayers in a way that first he starts with Shevach. He mentions and expresses the greatness of Hashem, his Yodoach HaZokah, his strong arm, and only then is he mispal to Mavakish to enter into the land of Israel. There's a simon here, a memory device, which you'll see a little bit of a mistake here. The word minol should be before tainus. In any event, let's turn to Daf Lamed Beis, Amid Beis. Amar Rabbi Lazar, again another statement from Rabbi Lazar. Gedola tefila yoser mimasin tovim. Tefila is even greater in its power to influence above than masin tovim and good deeds. Ein lecha gadol b'masin tovim yoser mimoshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is the paradigm. He teaches Torah and Mitzvahs to Klal Yisrael. I mean, the whole schus of Torah and Mitzvahs is depends upon him. But yet, that's not the reason why Hashem responds to Moshe Rabbeinu. But rather, Afal Pikein Lo Nena El Bitfila. Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to enter into the land of Israel to see the land. His Maisim Tovim were not enough of a merit for that. But because he was Mispal, he was Mischanin, HaKadosh Baruch Hu responded to his prayers. And even though he didn't enter into the land, but nevertheless he got to see the land. Shenemar, as the Pasuk says in the third chapter of Devarim, it says that when Moshe Rabbeinu requested to see the land, Vayisaber Hashem bi lemanchem v'lo shamay levam Hashem elai, Rav lecha al tosef daber elai, that's enough, I accepted your tefillah, v'samachle, it says immediately, alei rosh ha-piska so'inecha, yoma v'tzofona, etc. Rebei necha kilot. And the Pasuk says that Moshe would climb up to the mountain, and from there he would see the land of Israel. And that was the fulfillment of Moshe's prayers. And God was Misratza to show Moshe Rabbeinu the land. And as a result, that is Hashem responding to the tefillah of Moshe, not to his Maisim Tovim, but to his tefillah of Yom Rabbalazah. Gedola, Tainus, Yosem, and Atztaka. Tainus has even more of an impact then stuck because my taima ze begufo veze bimamono. It's greater when you sacrifice, so to speak, your body than when you sacrifice your money. V'yomer ablaza gedola tefila yosim and a karbanos tefila is even greater than all the karbanos, because when Yeshayo Anavi gives tochacha to Klal Yisrael at the very beginning of the book, he says, Lama li rov zivchechem yomar Hashem. Hashem says, I'm satiated with all your olos, your elim, your zvachim, uksiv. And then immediately afterwards it says, ufaraschem, ubefraschem, kapechem, alim aina. He says, in other words, it's even worse. Not only
Am I not interested, God says, in your korbanos, but I'm not even interested in your tefillos. I won't even accept your prayers, meaning that prayers are even greater than korbanos. And the chiddush here is not only will I ignore your korbanos, they'll have no impact, but moreover, I will ignore your tefillos. And that leads us up to Amar Rav Yochanan, and that's where we'll stop right now.